It is World Food Day on Sunday, and there will be a focus on many conversations that I try to have regularly, because they are important conversations, around food wastage and how we minimize food wastage, what we do about organic material from the stuff that we don't eat or don't use in our cooking in our homes, that we put into our refuse bins, and how we deal with that in landfills, and food security and food chains, and how they could be redesigned in order to make food less expensive. These are very, very important conversations. And one of the things that has perhaps been accelerated by COVID, I wonder if that's true to say, is urban food gardens. And I was let know about a week ago about the first urban food garden in Belleville. And it's been put together by the Greater Tigerberg Partnership in collaboration with Development NGO, MES. Paul Barker is on the line to us now from Claremont. He's with the Barker Tree Care business. But Paul, you've been involved with this urban food garden in Belleville. Good afternoon.
Hi, John. Yes. I've been involved with the Greater Tigerberg Partnership for the last 4 years, and they've always wanted to do an urban food garden. And during COVID, one of the residents, the homeless residents of the Mess Safe Space, took it upon himself to build a garden on unused Transnet property, and GTP thought this was a good initiative to fund. So the garden's gone from about 100 squares to about 300, and we plan to expand to about 600 squares this year.
Okay, and the notification I got said that it is now ready to be harvested, that there is a whole range of harvestable crops there.
John, they've been harvesting literally from around, I would say, April. We got involved in February, and around April already they were starting to bring in a small harvest for personal use. Around May, they were starting to supply food to a soup kitchen that's connected to the homeless shelter. And from about June, they've actively been selling to the local Belleville market and at the taxi rank.
So there is food is being used as a charitable donation to help feed the hungry, and it's also being used as a revenue raiser.
Absolutely, John. That's the way to go. Got to give back to the community. Live simple so that others can simply live.
I like that very much. I think it's the first time I've heard it, but I want a T-shirt that proclaims that to the world.
Indeed.
How difficult or how easy was it to prepare this kind of soil? I mean, I hear unused land belonging to Transnet, and I go, probably not terribly agriculturally fertile. Did you have to do, between you, have to do a lot to make it plantable?
A hell of a lot, John. We're basically dealing with Philippi sand. Even the farmers in Philippi will tell you that, it's just sand. If you don't add organic matter to it and develop the rhizosphere and use a method of farming called no-dig, you develop no nutrition, and it evaporates very quickly. So it's been using plants that don't require too much nutrition, things like lettuce, spinach, leeks, spring onions, a Zimbabwean cabbage called Shimalia, and, things that can grow in harsh conditions has been our easiest approach.
I'm struggling to understand, because I'm not a gardening person, I'm struggling to understand how much you can crop from the 300 square meters that are there at the moment, and then you would double that with the 600 square meters you're hoping to get it up to. I mean, what sort of kilogrammage does one harvest from 300 square meters of well-maintained garden?
It all depends on the time. Most crops, John, are in a six-week rotation, whether they are carrots or lettuce. Things like turnips are about 8 weeks. If you're lucky, leeks and spring onions are around 8 weeks. So it's all about the amount of time. So unused space costs you at the end of the day. A 300 square meter section of land could maybe support one person financially. 600 squares could support two people financially, and so on and so on. It depends what your aspirations are, but the largest limitation is not the soil. That's just what you're given. The largest limitation is water. And thankfully, through the great linkage with Grow SA and a company called Xylem, they installed a borehole for this garden, which came online this week, which is a game changer.
And as you said earlier in our chat, Paul, this is the way to go. There need to be many, many more of these in many, many, many more parts of Cape Town.
Yes, John, but we have to think of it on many tiers. We live in a conservation hotspot, so we first need to look after what diversity we have left. There's lots of areas of land that we need to ascertain whether or not rare plants may exist in them, which is the no-most strategy that the city's got. We also need to have a look that sports recreation is extremely important to people. So we can't really turn active sport grounds into vegetable gardens as yet, because it's got a value. But there are a lot of disused areas, and this talks very much to the narrative of the ruling party within the Western Cape around the amount of unused state-owned land that is just falling into rack and ruin, is becoming dump sites or being populated as informal housing. Not that I'm against informal housing, but I think that we could use our land a hell of a lot more effectively. And we need to find a balance between sports recreation, parks, biodiversity, and growing food.
Paul Barker, thank you very much for your passion. Paul is an agroecologist at the Barker Tree Care Center and involved with the Bellville Urban Food Garden. It is Garden Day. It's World Food Day on Sunday.